and welcome to the Global Product Management Talk. This is Cindy Faye Solomon, delighted to be your host today on May 21st. I'm broadcasting live out of Studio132.com in the beautiful Oakland Hills, across the bay from San Francisco, with the talented BZ Lewis, six-time Emmy winner, who is our sound engineer, and is delighted to take your calls. You can join us today on the phone at 323-927-2957, and you can listen to us at www.blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. That is our Twitter handle if you are following us on Twitter at PRODMGMTTALK and our hashtag #PRODMGMTTALK. We started as a Twitter chat a few years ago just for product managers, and we have become a top 10 business podcast on the Blog Talk Radio Network. We have regularly scheduled broadcast discussions of vital issues affecting professionals who are passionate about product excellence, product management, startups, marketing, innovation, methodology, and everything else that affects the success of products and scaling startups in the marketplace. I'm Cindy Faye Solomon. You can follow me on Twitter at Cindy F. Solomon. And I curate content and talk with thought leaders from the San Francisco Bay Area and beyond. You can also find out more about our broadcasts and our archives, which are available on iTunes. They're available on Blog Talk Radio, on Stitcher. I even made an Android app. Just search for PRODMGMTTALK. You can find over 100 episodes available at blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK. If you go to startupproduct.com, look under broadcast, and you can see the episodes organized by theme, as well as the podcasts that we have begun syndicating, Competitive Intelligence, which is all about the competitive space, by Sean Campbell of Cascade Insights, as well as our Columbia partner in South America, Distilled Innovation, is doing a weekly Google Hangouts in Spanish with startups and entrepreneurs in South America. And we are beginning to syndicate that for your audio enjoyment and education as well. I want to thank our sponsors, the AIPMM, which is the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. Founded in 1998, the AIPMM promotes worldwide excellence in product management education through trainings, the global international certification, and professional networking opportunities that provide corporate members an assurance that their product professionals are operating at peak performance. You can find them on Twitter at AIPMM, on the web at www.aipmm.com, and they have a Friday webinar series, which is excellent. You can find more about it at their website under webinars, and I'm delighted to host webinars on occasion, including the next 2 weeks, where our guest today on the show will also be giving a webinar on Friday, and I will give you more about that. Check out the Startup Product Movement for Product Excellence at startupproduct.com. At Startup Product on the web, there is a career board where you can find jobs or post jobs. Under Meetups, you can see the 18-plus growing communities worldwide and join a local startup product community in your neighborhood, or join the growing community and start one of your own. I want to do a shout out to the Startup Product Asheville community in North Carolina. Very exciting community being led by Ty Halleck and they are having, they do this great thing. They don't just do a meetup where they get together. They plan a whole event. So tonight they have a bunch of speakers talking. Sarah Day Evans, let me give you the details here. So they're pretty much doing a mini conference tonight. Sarah Day Evans, who's talking about solving for people, place, and prosperity. Maureen McCarthy, what are you Googling? Brian Johnson, intellectual property basics for startup ventures. Stephanie Swetson-Twitty, talking about understanding the importance of determining your target market. And the master of ceremonies is Glenn Gefkin, who was a guest on our show just recently. He's the author of Shift, Indigenous Principles for Corporate Change and Balance. They also have a DJ. They have music, and it's taking place at the Asheville Music Hall tonight from 5 to 8. So check it out. Shout out to all the great listeners there, and keep up the good work. Just this past Monday night in New York, the first Woman in Product meetup had a lean coffee style discussion led by Lynn Stable, the organizer there. It was hosted by the EXO Group in New York City, thanks to Nicole Johnson, and pictures were taken by Ellen Wolf, and they'll be available on the site. But check out Women in Product. It's a big issue here in Silicon Valley, and very exciting to see the community take off in New York as well. So if you have an event that would be conducive to creating community for passionate product people, we are delighted to collaborate with you to promote it to our community. As well as when you join a startup product meetup, you get access to digital events in between live events, as well as discounts and perks and first knowledge of upcoming conferences and educational opportunities. Also, a shout out to Techliminal here in the Oakland area. It is a place to come in and co-work, forward your WordPress development, and Startup Product Academy will be announcing some programs and a product management intensive course that we'll be offering at Techliminal. Okay, so, very exciting. Upcoming, opening June 6th is a Pipeline Virtual Conference. It is an online conference and hub for innovative product development. It's opening June 6th. I've tweeted out the how to register for it. It's also available in Startup Product in the calendar. And this is, without leaving your desk, you will have access to speakers, to resources, and to live online events that are starting June 6th to forward your innovation and your product management skill set. Okay, what else? Oh, thanks to Blame Sally, at Blame Sally, a local Bay Area band, for the music. So today I'm delighted to have with us Jim Semek. He's the co-founder of Product Plan, and we're going to be talking about how to create a compelling vision for your product roadmap. So product managers are charged with building consensus across the entire organization, internally as well as with external stakeholders, for specific product features and initiatives, as well as for the product strategy. It's a constant challenge to keep everyone up to date with the current product plan, as well as the ongoing iterations, while addressing the specific information that they require, because, of course, the end users, the customers, the marketplace needs to have a different view of where the product might be going or how to use the new features than your internal C-suite or the engineers, tech support. Everyone has a different view of product, and they need to know what the product manager has in store that's coming down the pike in terms of timing and in terms of meeting the requests that they're making about where the product needs to go. So building your product roadmap to convey your vision in a compelling way is very challenging. And I'm delighted that our speaker today, Jim Semick, is an expert in this. He co-founded Product Plan. It's a web-based software for developing and communicating your strategic product roadmap. Jim speaks frequently about market validation and new product development. He was part of the founding team at AppFolio, which is a business SaaS company, software as a service, that raised over $30 million in venture funding. He previously led market validation and wrote the first product requirements for well-known software products, including Citrix, GoToMyPC, and GoToMeeting, which we use for webinars. Jim is a frequent speaker and has spoken recently at Product Camp Silicon Valley, as well as Product Camp in LA, and various product management meetups and conferences. He resides in Santa Barbara. And so you can follow him on Twitter at Jim Semick, J-I-M-S-E-M-I-C-K, as well as Product Plan at Product Plan, P-R-O-D-U-C-T-P-L-A-N. Jim, are you with us?
I am, Cindy. Thank you very much. Okay. I'm really excited to be here.
Okay. So did I leave out anything in the intro that you wanted to underline?
That was a great introduction. You spanned 15 years of product management career in a few seconds. So that about covered it.
So one of the things that I'm always want, Global Product Management Talk is an opportunity to go deep with practitioners, as well as to provide an education and raise a visibility of exactly what product managers do and the value of a product management focus within organizations. So let's really talk about what is a roadmap for a product, and how is it used? What is the intention of it?
Yeah, that's a great way to start this. Most product managers have been developing some sort of a document and having communication with their stakeholders and executives about what will we build? How do we figure out what we're going to build, and then how do we communicate that? And so most product managers create what's called a product roadmap. And this is, in its simplest form, some sort of a document or a spreadsheet or a presentation that says this is where we're going. And as a company grows in size, as you move out of from being perhaps a growth stage startup into a larger organization with multiple product managers and multiple lines, then that communication tends to get a little bit garbled, and that's where Product Plan comes into play. Now, at a startup, if it's a small team gathered around a single conference table, communicating your product strategy is fairly straightforward. Everyone is on the same page with that. And so rarely within a startup do you find a quote-unquote product roadmap. Most of the time that product roadmap is maybe on a whiteboard, or perhaps it's part of a business model canvas that's been developed at the early stage before you actually launch. And as the company grows and starts to get more regimented and starts to become more complex in the product that it's offering, this need for a product roadmap, some sort of a strategy document, grows bigger. And so that's what a product roadmap is. It's a document for communicating. And there's also the product roadmapping process, which is, in some organizations, a very formalized process where organizations meet every 2 weeks or perhaps every month or maybe even every quarter to talk about what are we going to be building, what's most important to our customers and to our executive team, and then let's put together a document to communicate what we've decided. So that's the product roadmapping process. And for those people that aren't familiar with that process, as a company grows and grows perhaps to 200, 400, 500 employees, that process, it becomes a very standard part of the business. So that's the product roadmap and the product roadmapping process, Cindy.
Excellent. And so who would be driving that process internally within the organization? Is it the CEO who sits down and says, you know, here's where we want the product to go? Is it the engineers who say, hey, this is what we want to build? Is it the salespeople who say, this is what our customers want to buy from us?
Right, right. And it really depends on the size of the organization and the corporate culture. I will say that in dysfunctional organizations, the sales department might be driving the product roadmap. Not to be disrespectful of salespeople, but it really, salespeople have different motivations. The engineering team has different motivations. And so in a well-run product organization, it should be the product team that is driving those initiatives. So that might be a single product manager, or a program manager, someone with that title, or it could be someone who is maybe the VP or director of product who's driving that initiative. At a very small company, perhaps a startup, the CEO or maybe even one of the founders might be driving that initiative. So if you're in a company of perhaps less than 25 people, it's often the CEO or the founder who is driving that product strategy and that product discussion. And in larger organizations, 200 employees, 400 employees and larger, if sales is driving the process, that's a sign of a problem. And so it really should be part of the culture of the organization to have the product team drive that strategy. For those of you that are familiar with pragmatic marketing, one of the sayings that they have, which is a fantastic organization, but they talk about that if the product manager or the product team is not doing their job, someone else will do their job. And that someone else might be the sales organization or the engineering team who may not have the same touch points and the same ability to prioritize initiatives as someone with product management expertise could.
Right. That's for sure. And that is definitely, you know, product management, I believe, is happening whether someone is driving it or not. It's a business function, and that's clearly is what the purpose of our regular talks that are to raise visibility and understanding of what the opportunity is when product management is intentional and principled, and
right.
when the appropriate tools are available to enable the product managers to focus on what they need to do rather than scrambling to figure out how to communicate what needs to happen.
Right. And when a strategic document or some other way of communicating what the thought process is, when that document isn't in place, what tends to happen in organizations is that they have very knee-jerk reactions to changes in the business, or they might have a knee-jerk reaction to the latest sales call, or the CEO has a meeting with one important customer and comes running out with their hair on fire about this particular feature that needs to be added to the product. And so it's one of the benefits of a centralized, accessible document is that those sorts of issues that come up, and they'll come up regardless of whether you have this document, but you're less likely to have a knee-jerk response to it because a good product roadmap document thinks about the product from several different perspectives. You're looking at it from the competitive perspective. You're looking at it from the product perspective and making sure that you have customers that are excited and happy. There are often strategic goals for the organization that the executive team and maybe the board of directors has alignment on, but that needs to be considered when you're developing your product roadmap. So the strategic initiatives might be customer growth, or it might be customer satisfaction, or maybe moving into new markets and market expansion. So there are a lot of other considerations for what goes on the product roadmap that require a lot of thought before when you're creating this roadmap. And so when the CEO comes running out with their hair on fire about this latest call from this big customer, you're less likely to be making changes to that roadmap based on it. You have more of a leg to stand on rather than just having this, you know, this gut response and changing the roadmap and then everyone changes direction.
So essentially the product roadmap is identifying the mission and the it's a battle plan.
It is, and the battle plan can represent more than simply features you're adding to the product. It could be, we like to talk with our customers about creating themes, and these themes can represent different different initiatives that you have. They can represent big bundles of features, or they can represent moves that you're making into new markets. They can represent a completely new product line. Maybe you're doing product development and doing some early market testing on a new product. And so the product roadmap isn't simply a list of features that you're going to be developing. It's really a bigger picture. It's more about, if you will, the boulders that you're going to be doing rather than the pebbles. And so I do want to be clear that the product roadmap document is not necessarily the same thing as the backlog. In most agile organizations, you will have a product backlog, and this is the prioritized list of everything that's going to be done, from the features through the bugs to, some of the chores that need to be done. And that's not necessarily the same thing as the product roadmap. The product roadmap is this higher level document that you could present to the executive team or to the board of directors, and they'll get it. And certainly the board of directors is not going to be reviewing the product backlog. So that's one distinction between the roadmap and the backlog in an agile organization.
Got it.
Yeah.
So it's a strategic communication vehicle. Now, given that it's a strategic communication vehicle, coaching product managers and product management teams, I tell them, you need to schedule in strategy. You need to schedule in time to step back away, to build, to think strategically, intentionally. Otherwise, you get sucked into being reactive or putting out fires. And so that's a huge challenge, not only to have the luxury to be strategic, but to be charged with it. Often I find that product managers have to educate other people that, hey, this is what we need to do. We need to think strategically, or this is what the role of product management is, and this is what I'm doing in order for us all to be aligned, to move forward, to prevent forest fires.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's a really great point that you make, that product managers have a very complicated job. They really touch almost every department in the organization, and they wear many hats. And they're multi-talented people who can do a lot of different things. But in most organizations that I've been exposed to, you are very busy as a product manager. It's really often a 24/7 job. And the product manager, because they're often fighting fires, and they will have engineers coming to them with questions, and they have strategic documents that they need to get out to the sales team and other stakeholders within the organization, there really isn't time. Or they don't perceive that there's time to plan the strategy, and there's not enough time to visit with customers. And so those are often two of the things that tend to fall down to the bottom of the list. So I completely agree with you that planning strategy is an important part of the job, and it could be as simple as carving out an hour a week for a meeting with the rest of the product organization, if there are multiple product managers, and having that team meeting and reviewing what's going on and making sure that everyone is on the same page, and then at least monthly, or in some cases they quarterly, but better is monthly, meeting with the executive team, meeting with management, and making sure that they understand what is on the product roadmap. And of course, the management team includes all of the different stakeholders that a product manager might be appealing to within the organization. It would be sales, it would be marketing and customer service and all of these other groups that need to have an understanding about what's coming next. Where disconnects happen is that someone on that executive team doesn't really understand what's happening and why it's happening. And so the part of the product manager's job is to educate the rest of the organization. So have the strategic thinking and those strategy meetings, and then be able to communicate the why behind it. Why are we focusing on this initiative in Q3? Is it because it matches our strategic goals as an organization? Is it because it is expanding us into a new market or a new vertical industry? So to be able to explain that to the different constituents is incredibly important, because inevitably what happens is that the release happens. Or an announcement is made, and then the people who weren't on the same page as the product team will come to the product team and say, "I thought we were doing something else." And you really want to avoid those sorts of situations, whether it's a stop in the hallway or an email, and having a centralized, easily accessible document and using that roadmap document in these meetings helps create that alignment. And so that's an incredibly important part of the project manager's job, to be able to do that, hopefully monthly, to make sure that everyone is on the same page.
Excellent. So
yeah.
So let's go into, so now that we're talking about, we understand what the purpose of the product roadmap is. So let's go a little bit deeper, and who do we share the product roadmap with? Is it appropriate to share it with our customers?
That's a great question, and one that comes up fairly often. And there are two schools of thought with that. When an organization is an agile organization, whether you're small or large, that means that you are constantly reprioritizing what it is that you're building. And so the challenge with communicating a roadmap that you conceived of at a point in the past, the challenge with presenting that to customers is that you're setting expectations. And the challenge is that, once a customer's mind is set that a particular feature is coming on a particular date, now if you miss that expectation because priorities get changed, or something else becomes more important, or maybe the thing that you started working on turns out to be harder than you expected, there's potential for a mismatch of expectations and customer dissatisfaction. And so so in most organizations that I work with, particularly the mid-sized companies that are agile organizations, they do not share their product roadmap with customers. Now, we do have some of our customers that do share their product roadmap with their clients and customers, but they will remove the dates from that. So the customers, and this is something that our product can do, their customers are being exposed to the general thinking about the priority of development. So here are the major features that are coming out, but they don't put dates assigned to it. And so you remove that element of, potential dissatisfaction when a particular feature is not developed. Some organizations are actually, it's part of their RFP process when they're selling to large enterprises and customers, they actually are required to produce some sort of product roadmap for their clients or for their customers. So I find many different cases where product roadmaps are being presented to customers, and some organizations are simply transparent about it. They make their roadmap available, and they just hope that their customers are okay when that roadmap changes, because it inevitably will change. The other area that can cause conflict that I've seen is when the sales department gets a hold of a roadmap document and they share that with a customer. And so when the sales department is presenting that, the challenge is that they could be setting expectations. And if that gets attached to a contract, that could be a real problem for the product team, because now you have this conflict of this customer who signed the deal expecting this product to be delivered. They signed the deal based on that, versus good product management, which is, things change, we need to constantly reprioritize, and I'm sorry. And so this is it's an uncomfortable situation. And so if you're sharing the product roadmap with customers or with the sales team, those expectations need to be set that this roadmap can change.
Thanks. So one of our great tweeters, Gil Zibberfeld, just tweeted that there is less dissatisfaction if customers are part of development. Roadmaps are less important if customers see the road.
I really like that. That's a Gil. That was a great tweet. The really great product organizations engage with their customers and make sure that they understand what's coming next. So I completely agree with that. In some organizations where that have thousands of customers or more, it's really hard to touch every customer. And it really depends on the size of the organization. But if you're developing enterprise software, for example, and you're selling to a handful of large customers, absolutely getting those customers involved with your product design, with the product validation and the feature validation, the usability testing that needs to happen. That's a great way to set expectations about what is coming next. And so that was a good point.
Awesome. Okay, so regarding going back to how you portray a roadmap, there's a lot of usage now of the business model canvas replacing a long product plan document and the lean canvas replacing almost a marketing requirements document, and Shardul Mehta took that into a product management product canvas. So can the canvas be used as a product roadmap?
In many cases, it can.
Or does it replace?
So the challenge, well, first of all, for those that aren't familiar with the business model canvas, it's based on a book called Business Model Generation that was published by Alexander Osterwalder. And it is a way of distilling down a business model, a product and a business model. And it's at its core, it's a one-page quick overview of all of the strategic elements that play into a business model. So it's the product and the value proposition and the problems that you're solving. It's the customer segments that you're targeting, the channel or the way that you're going to sell to them, the way that you make money from it, so the revenue streams and how the cost structure is set up and so on. So it's a way of distilling down a business model and down to one page. And for those in the audience who are working on a startup or are part of a startup, the Business Model Canvas is a fantastic tool. I've used it extensively, and it's a great way of thinking through the process. Now, for a startup, this could take the place of an early roadmap because it is distilling down kind of the direction of the product. But once the product is in the marketplace, now you have all of these other components that come into play. So you have corporate goals or organizational goals that you need to meet because you're now selling to customers. So you might have key performance indicators or KPIs, metrics that you're driving towards. And those things are not represented as well in the business model canvas. And so a tool that helps you understand and describe what it is that we're building and how that ties back to our strategic goals, how it ties back to the KPIs and the metrics and the other goals that the organization might handle. And then what sort of time frame are we talking about? Are we talking about now? Are we talking about next year, in 5 years? So those sorts of things and that movement over time is the business model canvas does not work as well. So I definitely encourage early stage startups, and new product development within larger organizations to use tools like the Business Model Canvas or the Product Canvas and tools like that, just to understand all the forces at play for developing a new product. But as you move beyond it, you need a different way of representing the movement through time of what you're going to be doing and why.
Excellent. So our tweeter, Brent Smithurst, welcome Brent, says customers don't usually want/need roadmap items. They want to know your philosophy for prioritizing it and seeing the larger themes.
Oh, that's a great point, Brent. I'll expand that too. This also applies to the executive team. So it's not only does the executive team and customers, they don't necessarily want to know the details. They might not care about the detailed features that go into what you're doing, but they do care about, as Brent said, your philosophy. They do care about the themes that you're building towards or the vision for the product. So I completely agree with that, and that's why we recommend for product roadmaps that, you know, whatever form it takes, that you aren't presenting the nitty-gritty. You're not presenting the pebbles. You're representing the big vision of where you're taking the product. So this is not, again, it's not a list of features. It's rather a description of where you're headed. And, you know, part of the product manager's job is to present their vision for where the product is going. And they should be an evangelist. They should be that product evangelist that is evangelizing both internally and externally. They should be evangelizing to not only the customers, but also to the executive team and getting them excited about the direction for the product. And the way that you generate that excitement is by sharing of philosophy and sharing a vision and making sure that vision aligns with the goals of the product. So, yeah, great point, Brent.
Excellent. Okay, trying to tweet these out. So,
these are great questions.
Thank you. I think you suggested them, Jim.
gotta
give credit where credit is due. So moving on to Q3, so how do you prioritize your future initiatives for the roadmap?
Sure. There are a lot of different ways of prioritizing different initiatives. One of the most common methods that we've seen in product teams is to use a matrix. So you look at there are two elements for making decisions in this matrix format. One is the benefit that you're going to get from delivering a certain feature or item that you're putting in adding to your product. And then you weigh that against the cost. So what's the development effort? Are there any cost of goods sold that you need to consider? Are there any ongoing operational costs or support costs that you need to consider? So your product managers are constantly weighing this matrix, which is what's the benefit versus cost or value versus effort. And so most product managers are familiar with that. And so some product organizations try to distill that down into almost like a scoring model. And the scoring model in itself is a little bit controversial. I've heard both arguments where you can't distill product management down to a score. And I completely agree with that. But the product manager needs a variety of tools at their disposal to be able to think about why we need to do this ahead of that. You know, what's the priority? So product manager is getting, you know, feedback all the time. They are, it's like drinking water out of a fire hose. They're getting customer feedback. They're getting internal stakeholder feedback from the sales team and so on. If they're a metrics-driven organization, they're getting all sorts of reports about usage and feature usage and so on. And so they need to be able to take all this information in and then make decisions about what it is that we're building next and why is that compelling. So a a prioritization matrix or a scoring model is one part of that. I do want to make the point that using a scoring model is helpful for a lot of organizations, but it's especially helpful for fostering the communication that goes on. So if you're applying a score and you're weighing benefit versus cost, and you're coming up with some sort of a score, there are a number of different scoring models that are out there. We include one in Product Plan, but there are multiple other scoring models that you can find on the web that can help you through that thought process. But the biggest benefit is not the score that you wind up with. It's really having the conversation with your product team and with your executives about what it is that's important to us. So, what is increasing revenue important to us, or is it customer growth? Is it customer satisfaction, or is it increased revenue? So having that conversation in itself to figure out what to weigh things on or against is really the most important part of it. So, and then the same thing goes on the cost side. So how important is it to us, or how much do we rely on the actual development effort? Or is support cost really the biggest factor that we need to consider? So having that conversation is important. So what you're winding up with is a mechanism to have a conversation rather than just the product manager simply going into a room and sitting by themselves and coming up with a score and then saying, ta-da, I have my reprioritization. That's not as effective as involving other people on the product team and getting them on the same page with how you're evaluating different opportunities. And then, of course, pulling in other elements into the product decision, like where does this position us from a competitive standpoint? Where does this position us in the product life cycle? And so on. Those sorts of questions also have to come into play, and that can't be captured into any sort of scoring model.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So scoring, I think, is it's a talent, how do you learn how to score? It is totally contextual, and how the scoring is done also has to do with, what the precedence is in the organization. We really need to enable product managers to introduce scoring because it's important. It's almost a shorthand for deciding how to prioritize, and it needs to be based on data. So it's almost a shorthand for communicating how the decisions were made. But ultimately, I think it's a communication device because you can't be absolutely correct. It's a hypothesis.
Exactly. I completely agree with that, and that's where a lot of the controversy around scoring models comes into play, because people assume that is the be-all and end-all, when it's not, that there are all of these other factors that come into play, and at the end of the day, this is simply somebody's opinion. And so to be able to bring metrics and facts into the discussion, that overrides a lot of opinion. I completely agree with you.
Great. So what you're saying is the product plan actually has built into it an ability to apply scores and represent it within the roadmap?
Yeah, exactly. The tool is a supplemental tool that you can apply to either things that are already on the roadmap or things that you're thinking about for the roadmap. So we have an area of our application it's an opportunity backlog. It's a way of looking at those big initiatives that you might do in the future. And then you can apply a scoring model to that based on the criteria that you decide. So we have a standard default set of scores that you can apply to it, or different factors that you can apply to it, but it's completely customizable based on the organization. And so it's a it's an people like that tool because it is a centralized, transparent way of communicating how you've made your the thought process that's gone into what goes on the roadmap.
Excellent. So Alicia Dixon, she's at Special LI, LI1972, just underscored in discussing scoring, just saying, ta-da, here's my prioritization. That's not effective. You must communicate with the team in order to arrive at it, as well as to get buy-in for it.
Right. Yep, that's absolutely true.
So something that you kind of spoke to earlier, but we have a lot of agilistas listening, and certainly it's very much embraced in Silicon Valley. So if you are agile, you know, why do you need a product roadmap? Because they're watching their burn down chart. They have their Kanban board. You know, the development team knows where they're going because they are, you know, focused in the granular aspects of the features. So how useful is it? You know, do you really need to include the engineers in this high level product roadmap?
I did mention this a little bit before, that even in agile organizations, you need that strategic planning. You need that strategic focus. And the engineering team needs to understand that direction as well. So, you know, engineers are not simply people that work in this black box where you feed them the backlog with all of the user stories, the epics and user stories and bugs, and, you know, they just produce. You know, they need insight into the strategic direction where you're headed as well. And so what we've found is that with our product, our customers are beginning to share that strategic direction with their engineers. And the engineers absolutely love that. And so simply because an organization is an agile organization doesn't mean that there isn't thought that's being put into where are we headed. Because the truly great product organizations are the ones that think about not only customer requests. If you simply built the product based on the customer feedback and go in that direction, your product may not be as innovative as if you are thinking ahead about what is going to move the needle, what is going to make our product stand out in the marketplace, or whatever my metrics are, whether it's customer growth or revenue or, you know, moving into new markets, whatever the goal happens to be. If you're thinking ahead about what can move the needle, how can I leapfrog the competition and do it differently? So even in agile organizations, that sort of thinking needs to happen. And the product management team or the product manager or the VP of product, someone in that role needs to be doing and leading that sort of discussion about what's going to take us into these new markets and you know, grow faster and so on. And so that thinking should be distilled not in the backlog. There's no way that you can communicate that sort of strategy and thinking in a list that's, you know, 400 items long. You need to be thinking about it at a higher level and communicating it at a higher level. And so that's where the product roadmap document comes into play. And whether that's in a PowerPoint presentation or a Google Doc or in a spreadsheet or in a tool like Product Plan, it's really important to be able to communicate that big picture thinking effectively. And the recipients of those are the engineers, the management team within the organization, including the CEO or the general manager. It could even be, with smaller companies, it might even be the board of directors. And so, this idea that we're agile, therefore we don't need a roadmap, I think that you'll find that the truly great organizations out there and products are the ones that are thinking strategically and then able to communicate that effectively so everyone is on the same page.
Excellent. So Grafton Kennedy has asked what I call the dog fooding question. Are you using product plan internally to manage the roadmap for product plan?
Yeah, absolutely we are. Of course we are.
We wouldn't know whatever you tell us unless we're on your team.
But I will say that when organizations are small, and we're a smaller organization, the need for the centralized transparency of what's happening is diminished. There's not as much need to have that central document. We do use our tool. We use it for our discussions, and in fact, we use our prioritization tool as well. But if we were a large organization with, let's say, 200, 400 people, and we have multiple product managers, well, now a tool that like ours becomes much more valuable because you're having trouble aligning every one of the product managers into the same way of thinking. You're having trouble getting alignment with the rest of the executive team. Yeah, to answer your question, yes, we use it, but we're not the type of customer that gets the most value out of it. It's usually those organizations that have, once you hit two product managers or three product managers, and then this problem happens where you have trouble getting everybody in alignment.
So you aspire to have those kinds of problems.
That was a good question.
I mean, that's the quote-unquote luxury problem for product managers, that you need tools such as product plan to manage everything that's going on and to centralize the communication. So,
right.
And that you just answered the question before I asked it regarding smaller organizations. If we're a small startup, do we need a roadmap document? And I think, you know, from a product management implementation point of view, you kind of want to create the precedence. You want to start building the muscle early on, because if you do have a process in place, if you do have a software and a communication tool that everyone is comfortable with using, it's going to enable you to grow without those hiccups. You know, you have it in place. You know how to use it already. You've built that muscle. You've put in that habit that you're going to collaborate on using a tool that gives insights and that forwards the discussions that need to happen.
Exactly. And you and I both know that good product management apply whether you're, you know, the small startup or whether you're the Fortune 500 company. There are good product management practices, and that's a great point that you're making, that to get off on the foot, to get a good start with that and make that part of the corporate culture, those good practices, I think is really important.
Yeah. Cool. Great. So let's talk about the product. Tell us more specifically about what should people have in place in order to get up and running quickly using the tool? Can they take a plan, a product roadmap that they already have and import it into the software, or do you start over within the software? Does it change how someone might already be approaching building a roadmap?
Sure. That's a great question. The tool is designed to be flexible in that you can start from anywhere. You can import your spreadsheet that has your all of your initiatives and a description about those initiatives into product plan, and then that could seed your product roadmap. You can all start from scratch, and we have some examples that you can see online that will kind of get you started and off on the right foot. Every product roadmap is different because every organization is different. So the way that I think about my product roadmap might be different than the company down the street. One company might be organizing their product roadmap by product line, Another company might be organizing it by the markets that they serve, or you know, the vertical industries that they serve. And then with our tool, you have it is time based, so that over time in these different categories, which we call swim lanes, you can see what the organization is going to be building or doing, and then you can apply color coding to it to represent different things. You can represent strategic goals, so you make sure that the different items that you're considering map to your strategic initiatives. You can organize it by the Scrum team that's building the product, or you can organize it by its status, so whether it's been approved or not approved, that sort of thing. So we deliberately made it very flexible to represent the business the way that you want to represent it. And so if any of your listeners out there would like a demo, just have them reach out to us at support@productplan.com or info@productplan.com, and we'd be happy to show a few examples and different ways of organizing it. But one of the advantages of the tool is that it's a drag and drop tool, so it's very easy to get started. So you simply drag and drop items onto the roadmap, and then if things change, which they inevitably will, even during one of your strategy meetings, you can drag and drop within the meeting and making those changes on the fly, and then it looks good. So an important part of a product manager's job is to convey their story and convey the product vision. And when you have a document that looks good, you're doing people will take you more seriously. And we learned when we were considering developing this product, we learned through our market validation process that product managers will often spend hours working on a presentation, an executive presentation. So they literally will spend hours in PowerPoint or Visio or Omnigraphle or a tool like that in order to make something that looks good. And so right out of the gate, we're able to save product managers a lot of time with that process. But of course, the benefits go beyond time savings and actually, achieving corporate alignment, which is probably even more valuable.
Excellent. So I'm delighted that we will be continuing this conversation and going even deeper with visuals this Friday on the AIPMM webinar, where Jim will be joining me to go through much of what we've discussed and even deeper about the intention of road mapping, how to do it, as well as I hope in how to approach themes and weighting. I think that that's a huge education that will be very valuable. So join us this Friday morning to continue this conversation. I want to give a shout out to Gil Zimmerfeld, who is asking, making some great comments and asked a few questions, which we can get to offline because we're actually come to the end of the hour, if you can believe it. But I just want to underline that Gil said that tools should accompany the practice, not the other way around. And that's excellent and clearly the intention of Product Plan to enable product managers to do a better job and get their job done. So you've been listening to the Global Product Management Talk. I've been speaking with Jim Simic, who's a co-founder of Product Plan. You can get a 30-day free trial. Go to productplan.com right now, and you can start using it and definitely try it out before the webinar on Friday. Thanks so much, Jim, for joining us today.
Thank you, Cindy. It was a lot of fun.
It was great, and I will capture the tweets into a transcript so people can view them at storify.com/prodmgmttalk, and that will capture all the conversation, as well as the replay for this will be available at startupproduct.com, and I'll hand you a widget that you can also post for the replay of the episode, Jim. In a few minutes, within the hour. So thank you to our listeners and our tweeters. You've been listening to the Global Product Management Talk. Join us again at this time next week, where I think we will be speaking with a speaker who will be on Pipeline, which is the upcoming virtual conference about innovation. But just go to blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTTALK, follow us there, and you'll get pinged for upcoming episodes. Thanks for joining us today. Thank you, BZ Lewis. We'll see you again on Friday at the AIPMM webinar and online at startupproduct.com. Have a great week.
On a dry winter leaf, I wouldn't know love if you found me.